My heart ached. My mother had never seemed so far away. "Who runs the other compounds?" I asked. "Hatch," Zeus said. "He's like the president, but he answers to the board." "Then Hatch will have records of the other compounds," Austin said. Taylor said, "I don't think Hatch will be eager to share." "No," I said. "We'll have to take them. But first, we've got to free the others." Just then, the cell door swung all the way open, and three guards ran into the room holding machine guns. "Everyone on the ground!" the first guard shouted. "Move your..." He stopped mid-sentence. "Move... All three of the guards lowered their guns and looked at each other as if they'd suddenly forgotten why they had come in. I smiled at Taylor. "Zeus?" I said. "No problem." Electricity arced from Zeus to all three guards. They dropped to the floor. "Good job," I said. "Let's tie them up." We quickly cuffed two of the guards' hands behind their backs. As I was trying to get the handcuffs on the biggest of the guards, he suddenly turned on me. He jumped up, lifting me above his head. I pulsed, and he screamed out, dropping me on top of him. "You okay?" Austin asked. "Yeah," I said, climbing off the guard. "He's not." I locked the guards' hands in cuffs. Austin took their utility belts with concussion and smoke grenades and fastened one of them around his waist. "We've got to figure out how to get everyone out of here," I said. "Let's start with Ian and the girls, then we'll get Jack and Wade." "What about Nichelle?" Taylor asked. "Austin, you're the only one she can't affect." He patted his weapons belt. "I'll take care of her." "Zeus, while Austin and I free Ian and the girls, you and Taylor go to the end of the hallway and make sure no one sneaks up on us." "What about the cameras in the hall?" Taylor asked. "We've got to take them out," I said. "I know how to do it," Zeus said. "When I was 8, I was fooling around and blew one out. Hatch grounded me for an entire week." "Well, start with that one," I said, pointing to a camera right outside our door. Zeus reached up, and electricity jumped from his fingers to the camera. The camera's light went off, and the camera froze. "Nice shooting, Tex," Austin said. "Thanks. Okay, let's go," I said. "I'll go first. Zeus, you and Taylor behind me. Austin, lock the cell, then come up behind us." "On it," he said. We ran single file down the hall to Ian and the girls' cell door. Zeus blew out another three cameras as he and Taylor crept to the end of the hallway. Taylor cautiously peered around the corner. "It's clear," she said. I pounded on the cell door. "Ian, can you hear me?" I heard a faint pounding back. "He sees us." "How are we going to open it?" Taylor asked. "Zeus, can you concentrate your electricity and cut through it?" "No, that's Brian's gig." "I know how to open it," Austin said, winded from running back to us. "You can use your electricity." "But Ian said it's an airlock," I said. "It doesn't work by electricity." Austin smiled. "That's the flaw in their design. The lock is air, but how does the lock get its air?" I shrugged. "An air tank?" "Yes, with an electronic valve. While I was locked inside, I asked Ian to follow where the hose went. There's an electronic valve above each cell door. If my calculations are right, all you have to do is blow the switch and the air pressure drops." "He's good," Taylor said. "Where's the valve?" I asked. Austin pointed above the door. "Right about there. A strong enough pulse should knock it out." It was at least 4 feet above me. "I need a lift," I said. "On it." Austin got down on all fours. "You sure?" I asked. "Just do it." I stepped on his back and reached as high as I could, but it still wasn't high enough. "This isn't going to work." "Wait," Taylor said. "We do this in cheerleading. Come here, Austin." Austin stood. "Take my hand like this." They locked hands. "Now, Michael, step right there and we'll lift you up." "You sure you can lift me?" "Oh, yeah. This is how we make our pyramids in cheer." I stepped on their arms. "Lift," Taylor said. I rose higher than the door. "Awesome." I put my hand flat against the wall above the door jamb. "Here, Austin? That's about right. Here it goes." I pulsed with all I had. The light next to me flickered. "Now what?" "Wait for it," Austin said. Suddenly, we heard the hiss of escaping air. The door clicked. "We did it!" Austin said. Taylor and Austin let me down and I pushed open the door. Ian, McKenna, and Abigail were standing in the middle of the room waiting for us. Seeing them filled me with strong emotion. I ran up to Abigail and put my arms around her, then McKenna and Ian. "You guys saved my life," I said. "You were very brave," Ian said. "Amazingly brave. I don't think I could have survived what you went through." "We're proud of you," McKenna said. Abigail nodded. "Thank you. How can I ever repay you?" "I think you just did," Ian said, looking at the open door. In the hallway, an alarm went off. A bright red strobe accompanied by a deafening shrill siren. Everyone covered their ears. "Taylor! Austin!" I shouted. "Give me another lift!" They lifted me again. I reached up, grabbed the alarm, and pulsed. The alarm wound down with a sound like a sick cow. "Thank goodness," Taylor said. "That was annoying." "Okay, let's make a plan," I said. As we were talking, Ian was frantically looking around, up and down the ceiling, then to the walls. "The guards are collecting," he whispered. "There are two coming down the front hall toward us right now." "Where?" I asked. He pointed toward the far wall, moving his finger along with them. "Right there, on the other side of the wall. Ian, keep telling us where they are. Taylor, when they get close, reboot them. Zeus, the second you see their gun barrels, blast them with electricity." "You got it, Chief." I walked out into the corridor with Ian. He was now facing the far cell wall, following the guard's movement. "They're about at the corner," Ian whispered. "Now!" Zeus and I backed against the wall, just at the corner. I saw the glint of metal from two gun barrels, and Zeus shot electricity from both hands. Both guards dropped to the ground. "You got 'em," Ian said. "Two guards down." "Are there any more down here?" I asked. "Not yet, but there are some moving down the stairwell." "Let's take care of these two," I said. Zeus and I dragged the two guards into the farthest part of the cell and handcuffed them together to the toilet, then gathered again outside the cell. "We've got to free Jack and Wade and the rest of the GPs." "There's a problem with that," McKenna said. "They control all the collars from the command center. They could just set them all off and kill everyone."
"Where's the command center?" Austin asked.
"Fourth floor," Ian said. "Next to the guards' barracks."
"Oh, great," Austin said. "We've been there."
Ian smiled. "Come on, Austin. You didn't want it to be too easy, did you? The honey's always in the center of the hive." "So, we're headed to the fourth floor," I said. Austin said,
"Trust me, don't take the elevator."
"Then the only way out is the stairwell."
"Which,"
Ian said, "they're covering." "Do you know how many guards there are?" I asked. Ian nodded. "I counted this afternoon and there were 27. Usually there are 13 on duty during the day and the other 14 are split up between the other two shifts. But they all live here, and right now, they're all on alert."
"How do you know all this?" Austin asked.
"I watch everything in the building. It's kept me sane for 3 years. Just then, the entire floor went black. We could see nothing but the glow of each other. "They must have cut the power," Austin said. "That's gonna hurt them."
"They have night vision goggles," Zeus said. "I've seen them run drills."
"Oh," Austin said. "Then it's gonna hurt us." "No problem," McKenna said. She immediately began to glow, lighting up the corridor.
"That's so cool," Austin said. "Do you have a boyfriend?"
McKenna smiled. Taylor rolled her eyes.
"Not now, Austin."
"Sorry, back to business. There were 27 guards, we've taken out 5, so there's 22 left," Austin said. "I'll keep count."
"Ian," I said, "what's going on?"
6 guards are covering the stairwell. There are 3 above us. The others are gathering on the 2nd and 4th floor by the elevators."
"Which elevators?"
"Front and back. They might be getting ready to stage another attack. Or they might be waiting for us."
"What about the other electric children?" I asked.
"Hatch has them gathered on too."
"What powers do they have?"
"Quentin can produce a small EMP."
"What's that?" I asked.
"Electromagnetic pulse!" Austin blurted out. "It can knock out radios and stuff."
"Brian can burn through things. Tara can manipulate emotions."
"Wait," I said. Can she create fear?
Ian nodded.
Unfortunately.
She's the one who is torturing you, Abigail said.
She's as bad as Nichelle, I said.
Taylor looked at me but said nothing.
Speaking of which, where is Nichelle? I asked.
She's on level 2 next to Hatch.
Ian looked straight up.
Two men just went up top. I think they're getting the helicopter ready.
I bet Hatch is going to run, I said.
How big is the helicopter?
It's pretty big. It'll hold Hatch and all the kids. If things go bad, Hatch will probably take them with him.
Well, things are going to go bad for them, I said.
Let's go.
We turned the corner and ran down the next length of hall to the stairwell. Zeus continued down the hallway past the stairwell, blowing out 5 more cameras which he could see from their glowing red diodes. With McKenna's light, we could see both elevators from where we stood, one in front of us, the other at the end of the hall. The same elevator Austin and I had come through when we first entered the building. I could see under the door that the stairwell was still lit, and as I opened the door, bullets immediately began to fly. I jumped back, and I could hear bullets ricocheting inside.
Where exactly are they? I asked Ian.
Ian looked up and down.
They're on floors 1, 2, and 4. There are 6 of them. What are they doing? I mean, what are their positions?
2 of them are coming down the stairs. The rest are leaning over the railings with guns.
Taylor, do you think you could reboot them all at once?
I'll try. I'll open the door, Abigail said.
Ready? I asked. Taylor nodded. She put her hands on her temples.
Go!
Abigail pulled open the door, and this time there was no gunfire.
I slid my hand inside and grabbed the railing and pulsed with all of my power. There was a loud chorus of screams, and I could hear guns and men falling down the stairs.
You got 4 of them, Ian said.
One of them crawled out of the well onto the 2nd floor, and the other ran back out on the 4th.
How bad are the 4?
Then I'm moving.
18 left, Austin said.
Let's move, Zeus said.
How many are on the next floor up?
Ian looked back and forth.
3.
Near the stairwell?
No, that's the GP level. They're guarding the prisoners.
He cocked his head.
Wait. There's some motion on the 3rd floor.
The kids? Taylor asked.
Maybe. I'm having trouble seeing through them. Nichelle must be near.
Let's move up to the next floor.
We all started to climb the stairwell. Suddenly I stopped. It's hopeless, I thought. You're leading them to their deaths.
Surrender now.
What are you doing? Zeus asked. It's no good, I said. This isn't going to work.
What? Taylor said.
We can't make it, I said.
We'll never make it out of here. They're going to kill us.
Stop talking that way, Taylor said.
No, he's right, Zeus said. It's hopeless.
Taylor's eyes flashed.
No,
she said.
It's Tara.
She looked back.
Abigail, take Michael's and Zeus's hands, quick!
Abigail ran up half a flight. The instant she touched my hand, the fear left.
What happened? I asked.
It was Tara, Taylor said.
My sister.
Tara's your sister? I asked.
She's my twin. I'll tell you about it later.
You have a twin? Austin asked.
I can handle her, Taylor said. She put her hands on her temples and concentrated.
A scream echoed down the stairwell.
Stop it, Taylor!
Tara shouted.
You stop it!
Taylor shouted back.
Leave my friends alone!
Your friends are going to die!
No, they're not. Why are you helping Hatch? You're better than that.
Dr. Hatch is better. He's doing the right thing.
Hatch is evil. He killed your parents.
They weren't really my parents.
You don't really believe that. Think for yourself, Tara.
You can't change the world without casualties.
You're saying everything he's brainwashed you with.
What do you believe?
You're the brainwashed one.
Hatch told you that too, didn't he?
Tara didn't answer.
Come on, Tara. You're better than that. Join us.
I'm not one of you. I'm special. I have special abilities.
You do, Tara. And you used those special abilities to hurt that man on the motorcycle.
What good have you ever used them for?
That man on the motorcycle was just human.
I'm human, Tara, and so are you. Would you kill me if Hatch told you to?
She didn't answer.
Would you?
You can keep pecking in the dirt, Taylor. But I'm not a chicken. I'm an eagle.
Then there was silence.
She went back inside, Ian said. I touched Taylor's shoulder. I didn't know that you had a sister.
Taylor's face bent in anger.
I don't.
Chapter 47. The Escape. We cautiously crept up to the GP level. Me and Zeus in front, followed by Austin, Ian, and Taylor, with McKenna and Abigail bringing up the rear. The cameras inside the stairwell were panning back and forth like animals, heads up, watching for danger.
Zeus, take those things out, I whispered.
On it.
One by one, Zeus blasted the cameras. Their blinking red lights went dark and they drooped, as if hanging their heads in defeat. Then the stairwell itself went dark.
I think they're trying to make this difficult, Zeus said.
No problem, McKenna said. She began to glow again. McKenna, I said, stay close to the wall. You make an easy target.
She pressed back against the wall.
Ian, where are they? I whispered.
Three guards on GP, two guards on level one, and six on two. Three guard in the doors and three with Hatch and the children. They've abandoned the third floor. There are seven guards on four and three scientists. It looks like they're preparing for battle on the fourth floor.
They must have guessed that's where we're going, I said.
As we came up to the first level, I whispered to Ian.
How close to the door are they?
One's touching it, the other's standing by the elevator.
I put my hand on the door and pulsed. We could hear the guard's gun hit the floor.
17,
Austin said.
Suddenly, Ian shouted, Move! Move!
We scattered. Bullets started ripping through the door. When the gunfire paused, Zeus asked Ian,
Where is he?
Ian pointed. Zeus shoved his finger through one of the holes and fired back with a bolt of electricity.
Got him, Ian said. You are good.
Thanks, Zeus said.
16, Austin said. We're 40% there.
We approached the door to the second floor cautiously. Hatch was on level two, and there were the electric children and six guards. Fortunately, with the stairwell cameras dead, they were blind to our movement. On our way up to the third floor, we had to step over the bodies of two of the guards from our first battle. They were still unconscious. McKenna and Abigail put on the guards' bulletproof vests, even though they hung to the girls' knees. Then Austin and I handcuffed the guards and stripped them of their weapons. Austin added one of their knives to his utility belt, which looked like a small sword on him. I took one of the rifles and jammed it between the door and the railing to keep the door from being opened behind us. With each step, Ian looked from side to side as he kept track of everything going on in the building. My biggest fear was that Hatch would attack with Nichelle and the electric children, but with the exception of Tara, they kept their distance.
He can't risk them, Zeus said to me. The kids are too valuable. The guards are dispensable.
We stopped on the stairwell between levels three and four. There was another guard's body on the stairs. We stripped the guard of his weapons. We now had more than we could carry, so we dropped them down the stairwell. Austin put on the guard's bulletproof vest. Ian groaned.
Ah, we've got a problem.
What? I said.
On level four, they're setting up inside the door with a flamethrower.
A flamethrower? Austin asked.
If we open the door, that'll fill the whole stairwell.
It's worse. They've even armed the scientists. Superman couldn't make it through that door alive. I looked back down the stairwell.
I've got an idea. How many guards on three?
None. They've abandoned the floor.
You're sure?
He looked again.
Yes.
Austin, how much smoke does one of these smoke grenades make?
Well, if they're like the ones on the Discovery Channel, they'll each produce 40,000 cubic feet of smoke in about 35 seconds.
How many cubic feet is the fourth floor?
Austin loved questions like that.
I estimate this place is about 4,400 square feet per floor. The ceiling's about 8 feet high, so if my calculations are accurate, that's 35,200 cubic feet of space per floor.
I grinned. So 12 smoke grenades would cover it.
The smoke will be so thick they could chew it like bubble gum. But how do we get the smoke grenades up there?
No problem, I said. Follow me. We climbed back down to the third level, the floor of the electric children's suites. Knowing that the cameras were still live, Zeus went inside alone to take out the cameras while I explained the plan to everyone else. A minute later, Zeus opened the stairwell door on three. All clear. The cameras are dead. We all went inside. Abigail and McKenna each called an elevator. When the elevators arrived, they pushed the button for the fourth floor, then stepped back out and held the elevator doors open. Everyone ready? I asked. Let's roll, Zeus said. The elevators began to beep from being detained. Austin? Ready! He shouted from the stairwell. Now! At my signal, Austin leaned out the stairwell door and threw a concussion grenade up to the fourth floor, while Abigail and McKenna pulled the pins on their smoke grenades, six apiece, threw them into the elevators, and let the elevators go. A half minute later, Ian started to laugh. It's working! Smoke was filling the fourth level. Taylor, now! I shouted. Taylor began concentrating, trying to create as much general confusion as she could. We could hear the guards and scientists above us in a state of panic. They're running around like a bunch of chickens with their heads cut off, Ian said. They're climbing out the windows. Within 5 minutes, the guards and scientists had completely vacated the floor. We went back to the stairwell. Smoke from our grenades had seeped into the stairwell, and Austin was covering his mouth and nose with his shirt, which he had pulled up through his vest. They're all gone, I said.
9 guards left, Austin said.
How's the smoke? I asked Ian. It's dissipating. Give it a few more minutes. I climbed past Austin and tried the door. It's bolted shut, I said. Any ideas, Austin? Suddenly, the bolt slid and the door opened. Abigail and McKenna were standing there. I looked at them curiously. How'd you get up here? McKenna smiled. We took the elevator. We covered our noses and walked into the room. The smoke had mostly dissipated, but its odor hadn't, leaving the room bathed in a pungent, sulfurous smell. Austin stopped to look at the mounted guns they had facing the door.
Whoa! That's a Barrett M-182 anti-materiel rifle retrofitted with an M2A-17 flamethrower!
How do you know that? I asked.
Internet.
That's one nasty gun, Ian said, scratching his head. Ian, I'm going to release the prisoners, I said. Will you keep watch?
Sure thing.
The command center was located at the front end of the floor, opposite from the stairwell we'd just come through. The room was open with large glass panels so that inside, we could still see the stairwell and the rest of our group. There were two large consoles, each about the size of a car's hood, and as loaded with buttons and switches as a jet cockpit.
Man, this is cool, Austin said. I need one of these in my room.
The first console had 14 small screens stacked on top of each other in 5 levels, the numbers corresponding with each level of the building except for the GP level, which was missing. The images on these screens, each numbered, were constantly changing, switching between more than 100 security cameras. However, thanks to Zeus's handiwork, only the first, second, and fourth floor monitors were completely live. Next to the screens was a long row of buttons allowing the operator to select and control any camera on the grounds. These are all the building security cameras, I said to Austin, pointing to a monitor. See? There's the main hall, the yard, and the student suites.
The student suites? Zeus asked, walking into the room. I completely took the third floor camera out.
Not all of them. There's still the ones in the bedrooms.
There are cameras in the bedrooms?
Zeus asked, looking surprised.
I didn't know that we were being watched all the time. That's kind of embarrassing.
Unfortunately, we had taken out all the cameras in the stairwell, which would have been useful to us now. Taylor joined us in the command center. The second console was entirely dedicated to the GP level. There was a bank of 25 small screens, each with a number, all surrounding one large central monitor. On the small screens, we could see the GPs. There was little movement in the cells. The prisoners were either lying on their beds or sitting on them. In one room, a few were on the ground playing cards.
Interesting, Austin said, watching them. They've created their own sign language.
All but two of the cells were full, and most had more than one occupant, some as many as four. On the main console, there were 25 panels, each with three buttons, a toggle switch, a sliding switch, and two green diodes. In the center of the console was a microphone. "Austin, help me figure this out," I said. Austin walked up behind me and looked over the console. "Each screen and panel corresponds with a cell, and if you push the red button..." He reached over and pushed the red button on cell 5, and the video image of two GPs playing cards on the small screen appeared on the central monitor. "You can enlarge the view of a single cell." He pushed the button again, and the image zoomed in still more. He did it until we could actually read the cards one of the prisoners held in his hand.
"That's one way to cheat at cards," Zeus said. "And this toggle switch moves the camera."
Austin pushed the button to the right, and the camera panned right.
"Man, I wish I had one of these!"
He looked at the buttons on the panels below the red one. They were labeled Vox, PL, and EC. EC had a sliding button beneath it.
"Vox, of course, is the intercom system. PL..."
Austin rubbed his chin as he thought.
"Pneumatic locks. The green light tells you that it's locked, and EC would be electric collars. I'm guessing that the sliding button below them would intensify the severity of the shock. The green light signals that it's on."
"Look around for Jack," I said. "Is that him in 9? Taylor said, pointing to a small screen. The man in the cell was lying on his back, looking up at the ceiling. I pushed the red button on 9, and the picture came up on the central monitor.
"Push it again," Austin said.
I pushed the button twice until the man's face took half the screen.
"That's him," Taylor said.
"I didn't recognize him with the beard," I said.
"Where's Wade?" Austin asked. "They're not together?"
I honestly didn't know if Wade was still alive. I hadn't had the chance to tell them anything about what had happened to us.
"Keep looking," I said. "There he is," Austin said. "In 11.
I pushed the button on 11, and the image filled the screen. Wade wasn't alone. There was another man in the same room.
"He's almost across the hall from Jack," I said.
I pushed the button on 9 again, and the picture of Jack came back up on the center screen. I pushed the Vox button on the 9 panel.
"Jack!"
He suddenly looked up toward the corner of the room.
"Jack, can you hear me?"
He looked around, as if trying to figure out where the voice had come from.
"Jack, it's me, Michael. Are you okay?"
This time he nodded.
"I can't hear anything," I said to Austin. "He's not speaking. He still has the electric collar on."
"Right." I looked down at the panel. "Which way should I push it to deactivate it?"
"Try pushing it to the right," Taylor said.
I started to slide the switch to the right. Jack immediately grabbed his collar.
"Stop! Stop!"
Austin shouted.
"Sorry. My bad,"
Taylor said into the microphone.
"Rules out the right," I said.
I slid the switch to the left. The green light on the panel went off.
"I think you did it,"
Austin said.
"Jack," I said into the microphone, "I think we've disarmed your collar. Try speaking."
He looked nervous.
"Michael," he said in a raspy voice.
A look of relief came across his face.
"Thanks. Where are you?"
"We've escaped. We've taken control of the main command center. We're going to unlock all the doors in the prison, but there are still 3 guards on your floor. We want you to get Wade and help us."
"I don't know where Wade is," Jack said.
"He's close. He's in cell 11. That's directly across the hall, 1 cell to the right. I'm going to unlock your door, but don't open it until I tell you to. Taylor, where are the guards?"
"There's one coming down the hall toward 9.
"Hold tight, Jack. Austin, on my word, unlock Wade's cell."
"Got it."
"He's turning back," Taylor said. "Okay, Jack, be sure to shut your door so they don't suspect anything."
"Got it."
"Ready?
Go."
I pushed the PL button and the light on the panel turned green.
"Wait," Jack said. "There's no handle on the inside of the door. I can't open it."
"I got an idea," Austin said. He walked over to the other console, looked around for a moment, then pushed a button.
"The door just opened a little," Jack said.
"What did you do?" I asked.
"I turned on the hall air conditioner and created negative air."
"That was smart," Taylor said, cutting him off.
"Thanks."
"Okay, where's the guard, Taylor?"
"Still on the other end of the hall."
"Austin, open cell 11.
"Got it."
"Okay, Jack, go, fast." Jack pried open his cell door, stepped out into the corridor, pulled his door shut, then pushed in the door at cell 11. I hit the red button on 11, and the image took full screen. We watched the reunion. Wade stood as Jack entered and the other inmate just stared anxiously.
Austin, shut off their collars. To the left.
Got it. Done.
I pushed the vox.
Jack, shut the door. We turned off the collars, but keep your voices down.
Wade looked around, afraid to speak.
It's okay, you can talk, Jack said.
Who is that?
Wade asked.
It's Michael, Jack said. They've escaped.
He looked at the camera.
You're the man, Michael. Can you take your collars off?
Yeah, they're just buckled like a seatbelt.
Are you sure they're turned off? Because the collars are programmed to go off on full if we try to take them off.
They're off, Austin said, then turned to me and shrugged.
I think, he said to me.
The three of them quickly removed their collars.
Guys, here comes the guard, Taylor said.
Austin, can you figure out how to shut off the lights on the floor?
He went over to the other console.
Just a minute.
He quickly scanned the board.
I think this is it.
Jack, the guard is coming. When he passes your cell, we're going to shut off the lights. Can you and Wade jump him and drag him back into your cell?
My pleasure.
Wade, you hit low, I'll take his arms.
Count me in, the other inmate said. We have night vision here, I said, so wait for our command.
Got it.
He's nearing the cell, Taylor said.
Okay, he's past the cell.
Austin, now, I said. The GP level screens all went dark. Suddenly, the images on them changed from black to pale green ghost-like images. I whispered,
Jack, can you see anything?
No.
The guard is 3 feet to your right, directly in front of your old cell. He's facing cell 9. Open your door.
He opened the door. The guard must have heard my voice and started to turn back.
Now!
The three of them blindly charged the guard. Wade hit first, wrapping his arms around the guard's legs, while Jack knocked him over. The other inmate grabbed the guard around the neck. The guard was flailing around, but had no idea who or what had hit him. Truthfully, the attack didn't look a whole lot different than back when Jack and his posse tried to pants me. The three of them dragged the guard back into their cell.
8 guards, Austin said.
Lights on, I said. The lights came back on. The two remaining guards just looked around, confused by what had happened.
Shut the door, I said.
Wade pushed the door shut. The third inmate still had the guard by the throat, and Jack pinned his arms behind his back as Wade handcuffed him. Then, Jack pulled off all the guard's weapons, taking a rifle, taser, and concussion grenade. He handed a pistol and a smoke grenade to Wade and the truncheon and mace to the other inmate. The inmate immediately sprayed the mace in the guard's face.
Feels good, don't it?
The guard gasped and sputtered.
Don't kill me!
Keep your mouth shut, Jack said to the guard. You call for help, and it will be the last thing you do.
Put a collar on him, Austin said into the microphone, and we'll reactivate it at full.
Gladly, Jack said. He fastened one of the collars around the guard's neck. I slid the switch.
Reactivated, I said.
Welcome to the other side, Jack said.
He turned to the other inmate and put out his hand.
What's your name?
Salvatore.
You did well, Salvatore.
Grazie.
Zeus said,
If you can manually control the elevators, I can take out the front guard while Jack takes out the other guard. Then we can start bringing the prisoners up here, bypassing the guards on 2.
Brilliant. Except you better have Ian go with you so you don't walk into an ambush. Austin, you're in charge of the elevators. Abigail and McKenna, keep watch on the monitors.
What about me?
Taylor asked.
Stay close to me, I said. I'm gonna need your help.
I got back on the speaker. Jack, there are only 8 guards left and Hatch and 6 electric children. We're going to start transporting all the prisoners up to the 4th floor and arm them. We've got a whole weapons depot up here. What'll happen if I unlock all the doors?
They're pretty keyed up, he said.
Prison riot. Could turn ugly.
That's what I was afraid of.
There were a few guys who could really help us, though.
How many?
6 dozen?
Okay. This is the plan. There are 2 guards still on your floor, 1 in each corridor. Ian and Zeus are going to come down the front elevator and take out the 1st guard. There's a guard at the end of the corridor to your left. You're going to have to keep him from helping out the other guard.
Jack took out his grenade.
No problem. When you've secured the floor, tell us where your friends are. Give the weapons you capture to the ones you trust, and then start bringing them up here 6 at a time. I need you and Wade up here with us. Hatch may launch a counterattack up the stairwell.
Got it.
Zeus and Ian walked over to the elevator.
We're ready.
On it,
Austin said. He opened the elevator door.
Level GL, I'm gonna cut the lights again. Ian, when you get there, tell Zeus where to fire and stay away from the elevator door. The guard's still armed. He may just fire at the sound of the doors opening.
Got it.
They stepped into the elevator. Austin shut the door and sent them down. Then he again cut the lights on that level. We could see the guards in our screens freeze in their positions.
Look, Abigail said. The stairwell door.
Fire and sparks began shooting through the stairwell door.
Someone's cutting their way in here, I said.
It must be Brian, McKenna said. He can do that.
Taylor, I shouted. See what you can do to stop him.
Taylor walked closer to the stairwell and focused her attention on the door.
Nothing's happening.
Austin was still staring at his monitor.
Zeus and Ian have reached ground level, he said.
There was a bright flash of lightning on the screen.
7 guards,
Austin shouted.
What's Ian doing?
On the monitor, Ian looked frantic. He ran down the hall towards cell 11. Already a full line had been cut through the door.
Michael! Taylor shouted. I can't stop them!
Austin, who's out there?
I can't tell. Zeus shot out the cameras.
I turned back to the console.
Austin, lights up on GL.
I pushed the master box.
Jack, one of our guys, Ian, is about to come around the corner behind you. Don't shoot him!
Can you take the other guard out?
Jack raised a hand.
On it! Do it, Wade!
Wade threw a smoke grenade down to the end of the hall. The guard vanished behind a cloud of smoke.
We've got you surrounded, man! Jack shouted. You're the only one left! Surrender your weapon now or we start shooting!
The choking guard threw his gun out ahead of him.
Don't shoot! I surrender!
Get on your knees and put your hands behind your back. Jack turned back to Wade.
Get a collar.
6 guards left!
Austin shouted. Ian rounded the corner and pushed open the cell door. He was out of breath.
Michael, can you hear me?
I'm here, I said. He gasped out his warning.
It's Brian. He's cutting through the stairwell wall.
We can see the sparks. Is he wearing a helmet?
Yes.
I looked at Taylor. Get away from there. You can't help. Just then, Zeus walked into the cell behind Ian, carrying the guard's weapons.
What's going on?
Michael, Ian said. Brian's with Hatch and 3 guards, and he has Nichelle with him.
They're coming for you.
Chapter 48. Overload the circuit. Hearing that Nichelle was on the other side of the wall sent chills through me.
Michael, we've got to get out of here, Taylor said.
I need to finish. Hatch could still kill all the prisoners.
Abigail, McKenna, get out of here.
We're not leaving you, they said simultaneously. Sparks bounced off the floor as Brian completed the second cut.
He's halfway through, Taylor said.
I'm not going out without a fight, Austin said.
He ran from the console over to the flamethrower.
Austin, I need you back here, I said.
I need you to unlock all the prison doors and turn off all the collars. He turned to me.
We've got to stop them.
Taylor went to the flamethrower.
You go. I'll do it.
She crouched down next to the machine as Austin ran back to the console and started hitting switches. I hit the central Vox button.
Attention, prisoners. This is Michael Vey. We are freeing you. We're unlocking all the doors. Your collars will soon be deactivated. As soon as the light goes off, take them off as quickly as you can. We're under attack, so we don't have much time. Ian, Jack, and Zeus will help you get out of the building. Do exactly as they say.
How does this work? Taylor said.
Just pull the top trigger, Austin said.
But not now! It'll set the floor on fire.
Michael!
Jack shouted over the intercom.
We're coming up the stairwell to rescue you!
Just be careful.
Hey! Austin shouted. Zeus is coming back up the elevator!
I looked over.
What? Tell him to turn back!
I can't, there's no intercom in there!
The cutting had started again, and Brian completed another line in the wall.
He's almost through! Taylor yelled.
Austin, are you done?
Just about.
Ian, all the collars are just about off. I don't know how long we can hold the floor, so use the elevators with caution.
Got it, Michael.
The front elevator door opened and Zeus walked out.
What are you doing here?
I shouted to him.
I need to face Hatch, Zeus said.
Send him an email. Nichelle's with him. Take the girls and get out of here.
We're not leaving, McKenna said again. Taylor looked back at me and shook her head. I'm not leaving you alone.
McKenna, Taylor, these are Hatch's personal guards. They'll kill you. They'll kill all of us. Just get out, please.
Just then, Brian completed the last cut, and the thick plated metal fell forward, crashing onto the floor. A concussion grenade flew through the hole at us, exploding in the middle of the room. Taylor screamed, falling to the floor behind the flamethrower.
Put down your weapons, Hatch shouted, or we'll throw in real grenades.
They have those? Austin asked.
I don't want to find out, I said.
Okay, I yelled. Taylor, back away from the flamethrower. A moment later, a guard stuck his head through the hole in the door. He looked around, then stepped inside. He was wearing a different uniform than I'd seen before. A bright green rubberized suit with a helmet and bulletproof vest. He pointed his gun at us, as if daring one of us to engage him. Then Hatch, wearing the copper helmet, stepped through the hole behind him, closely followed by Nichelle and two other guards. Hatch looked around the room and said to me,
Quite a mess you've made of things, Vey.
I did my best, I said. Zeus was standing in the middle of the hall, halfway between Hatch at the stairwell and me at the console. Hatch looked at Zeus, and his face twisted in a scowl.
Well, Frank, you turned out to be quite a disappointment.
My name's not Frank, Zeus said.
You're right. It's Leonard. Leonard Frank Smith, that's all you are now.
What a pity.
I made you into a god and you chose to be Frank.
I'd laugh if it wasn't so pathetic.
You gave me a title so you can make me your slave. You lied to me. You lied to all of us.
Who told you that, Frank?
The liar, Vey?
He looked at me, then back to Zeus.
It's not too late for you, Frank.
Take out Taylor, Abigail, and McKenna right now, and I'll let you back into the family.
The girls looked at him anxiously.
Really?
Zeus said.
You'll let me be your minion again?
What a deal.
Nichelle, Hatch said.
Suddenly, the worst pain I'd felt yet pierced my skull. Nichelle had always claimed that Hatch made her hold back, but now, for the first time, I believed her. Taylor, McKenna, Abigail, Zeus, and I all screamed out. At the same time, the pop and spray of gunfire echoed in the stairwell, and a concussion grenade exploded behind Hatch and the guards. One of the guards emerged from the stairwell.
Dr. Hatch, the GPs are attacking from below. We can't hold them long. There's at least 24 of them.
Help them, Hatch said to his guards. They climbed back through the hole into the stairwell. Hatch turned back to us.
Poor misguided Zeus.
You picked the wrong curtain. I gave you power and privilege. I gave you identity. Michael Vey gave you this.
Michael gave me freedom.
You've done nothing for me that wasn't in your best interest. That's all this is about. Absolute obedience to you. That's what you want from the whole world. But you're nothing, Hatch.
Hatch's expression turned fierce.
Nichelle, show Frank what nothing truly is.
Show no mercy.
She smiled, then looked at Zeus, who immediately fell to his knees, grabbing his temples and screaming. Then she turned it on all of us.
You insignificant little cretins,
Nichelle said.
I told you that I could squash you all like mosquitoes.
McKenna, Abigail, and Taylor simultaneously crouched over in pain. My knees buckled and I fell to the ground behind the console. As I writhed in agony, Austin looked at me helplessly, then crawled past me under one of the consoles and pulled the cord out of the wall. He took the knife from his utility belt and cut the end of the cord and handed me the frayed end.
Put this in your mouth, Austin whispered.
I looked at him but did nothing. I was in too much pain to speak, and everything seemed to be spinning around me. I was on the verge of passing out. Austin put the cord in my hand.
Just do it, he said.
I lifted the end of the cord to my mouth as he plugged it back into the wall. Electricity sparked in my mouth and a surge of power hit my body. Immediately the dizziness left me and I felt normal again. Actually,
I felt better than normal. I felt stronger. Austin crawled closer to me and whispered,
Michael, listen to me. I think I know how to stop Nichelle. Overload the circuit.
I pulled the cord from my mouth. The power was still flowing into my hand.
What? Don't hold back. Give her everything at once, like blowing a breaker at home. Are you crazy?
Trust me.
I looked at him for a moment. Then I heard Taylor scream out in pain.
Stop! Please stop! Michael!
Get behind me, Austin.
I forced myself to one knee, then to my feet. Nichelle was now focusing her attention on Taylor, who was writhing in agony.
Hey, Nichelle! I shouted.
She turned and looked at me.
You want my electricity?
Take it! I spread out my arms and surged with everything. Nichelle suddenly started shaking, and her expression changed from cruelty to fear.
What are you doing?
Keep it up! Austin shouted. Hatch looked at me, then back at Nichelle.
Nichelle, stop him. That's an order.
I continued to surge.
What are you doing?
Nichelle repeated, her voice now trembling.
Stop it. That hurts. Stop.
I don't think so, I said. Taylor, Zeus, and the girls all stopped shaking. Nichelle had released them.
Stop it!
Nichelle screamed again. Then she began convulsing as if she were having a seizure.
What's going on? Hatch shouted. Answer me!
Nichelle fell to her knees, doubling over in agony.
Stop! Please, stop!
Hatch turned to me, his jaw clenched, his face red with anger. Sweat beaded on his forehead. For a second, we just stared at each other. Then a guard shouted to Hatch from the stairwell.
Sir, they're on us! You've got to get out now!
Hatch pulled a revolver from beneath his jacket and pointed it at me.
You did this, Vay. Now pay.
He pulled the trigger. As the gun erupted, lightning flashed across the room and hit the bullet just inches in front of me, blowing it into nothing. Then Zeus turned and hit the gun itself. Hatch screamed out in pain, throwing his gun in the air.
My name is Zeus!
There was another explosion in the stairwell.
Sir, we've got to go now! The guard shouted, grabbing Hatch's shoulder.
Help me!
Nichelle cried. Hatch was holding his arm and glanced down at her.
You're no use to me anymore.
But I'm your friend.
You betrayed your own kind, Nichelle.
No one likes a traitor, even those they serve. Hatch looked at me once more, his face twisted in hatred. Then he ducked back out into the stairwell and climbed up to the roof.
Zero guards!
Austin shouted as he stood up from behind the console. Nichelle was on her knees, looking at me fearfully. I surged once more. She let out a yelp, then collapsed to the ground in an unconscious heap. A faint wisp of smoke rose from her body. I let go of the electric cord and fell to one knee, exhausted. The battle continued to rage in the stairwell as Jack and the prisoners pushed past our floor to the roof. Austin looked at me, then Zeus, then back at me.
That was the coolest thing I've ever seen, he said. A bullet travels at a mile a second. Lightning travels at 186,000 miles per second. That rocked!
Austin looked around. Smoke was still wafting through the room, and we all seemed frozen in place, like survivors of a natural disaster. He walked over to Nichelle and pushed her with his foot.
Is she dead?
Taylor asked. Austin knelt down and put his hand on her neck. Unfortunately, not. Just then, Ian climbed through the stairwell into the room.
Michael, Hatch is gone. He escaped in the helicopter.
With all the kids?
That I could see.
I sat down on the floor and raked my hand back through my hair. Then I looked over at Austin. I'm sure it was the release of tension, but I suddenly started to laugh. Taylor looked at me like I'd gone crazy.
What's so funny?
Austin, I said, slowly shaking my head.
Austin is. Overload the circuit? Where in the world did you get that idea?
Austin said defensively,
Michelle gave it to me, when she called you all mosquitoes.
What?
Taylor said.
Have you ever had a mosquito on your arm, but rather than swat it, just squeeze the skin around where it's sucking?
You had a strange, sick childhood, Taylor said.
No, really, it's cool.
The mosquito can't disengage, so it just fills up with blood until it explodes. I figured that since your natural reaction to Nichelle was always to resist, that she had probably just been dragging your powers out of you a little at a time, like sucking out of a straw. I figured if you just gave it to her all at once, she wouldn't be able to handle it.
Brilliant, I said.
Brilliant!
I looked over at Zeus. He was standing quietly, leaning against the wall, his head bowed. Hey, Zeus, I said. He slowly turned around.
Frank, he said.
I'm just Frank.
I shook my head.
No, dude. You're definitely Zeus.
He smiled.
He's right, Taylor said.
You're Zeus.
She walked up to him and kissed him on the cheek. You were awesome. You were more than awesome. You were a hero.
Thanks.
He touched his cheek.
You're the first girl who's ever kissed me.
Taylor smiled.
You deserved it.
Just then, Jack and Wade climbed in through the hole in the door. Jack opened his arms to me.
Michael, my man, he said, walking up to me.
Stand up, Vay. I'm going in for the bromance. I stood and Jack embraced me, almost knocking me over. Then he stepped back and announced,
First time I ever hugged a dude I didn't have a chokehold on.
Wade stood a few yards behind Jack, staring at me.
You saved my life, man.
And you returned the favor, I said. We're even.
Not even close, Wade said. Not even close.
So now what? Taylor asked. I looked down at my watch. The crystal was broken and its silver band was now scratched, but it was still there. It had come through the battle, just like me. There's a phone back here, I said. You better call your parents. They're worried sick about you.
You too, Austin.
Austin started to the phone but stopped.
But what about your mom?
I'm gonna find her, I said. We're going to find her, Jack said,
and bring her home.
I looked at Jack and shook my head.
Thanks.
But I've already gotten you guys in enough trouble. I can't take that chance again.
Trouble? Jack said.
You can't buy this kind of excitement.
I'm in, Wade said.
You risked your mom's life for me. I'll risk mine for hers. Besides, even that prison wasn't as bad as living with my granny. He looked at Jack.
The food was better.
The guards were nicer too, Jack said. I looked down and smiled.
Well, I could use a ride.
I'm in too, Zeus said.
I helped capture her. I'll help free her.
He looked at me.
What else am I gonna do?
Can't stay here.
Count me in, Ian said, stepping forward.
I can't speak for the girls, but last I checked, my schedule was wide open. He looked at Abigail and McKenna.
How about you guys?
I'm in, McKenna said. Abigail just looked down. She furtively wiped a tear from her cheek.
I'm sorry. I just want to go home.
McKenna walked over and put her arm around her. I looked at Abigail affectionately.
Go home, Abby. You've done enough. But I'll forever be indebted to you.
As will I, Taylor said.
We all will, Ian said. We love you, Abby.
Taylor walked over to the phone and picked up the receiver. She dialed three numbers, then stopped and looked back at me, smiling. Then she set down the phone and walked over and took my hand.
You, Michael Vay, are a freaking rock star.
My eyes started twitching.
Thanks.
She grinned. Oh, now you start blinking. You had bombs blowing up around you, bullets shot at you, and 24 armed bad guys trying to kill you, and you're a steely-eyed ninja, and now when I hold your hand, you're nervous? I shrugged. I can't help it. She smiled.
I like that.
She leaned forward and kissed me on the lips. Then she wrapped her arms around me, and we kissed again. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw Austin giving me a thumbs up. I could practically hear him. I knew what he was thinking without my powers.
Told you so, dude.
The rest of the clan was smiling as well. When we parted, Taylor said,
Now let's go get your mother.
I leaned back.
Wait, Taylor. You can't come. She put her hands on her hips. If you think I'm gonna let my boyfriend run off without me, you don't know me. But what about your parents? I'll call them. What about cheerleading? She looked at me incredulously. You're joking, right? Save the world or shake pom-poms. How shallow do you think I am? I started to laugh. It was a pretty stupid thing to say. Suddenly, McKenna shouted out, Michael, watch out! I spun around. No one had seen her enter. A girl I had never seen before was standing just 15 feet from me. Zeus surged, knocking her back against the wall. She slid to the ground, holding her arm. She cowered, her eyes averted. Please, don't hurt me! I stepped toward her. Who are you? She's Grace, Ian said. She's one of the 17. You're one of Hatch's kids, I said. What are you doing here?
I ran away from Hatch.
Careful, Austin said. She could be a plant. We'll know soon enough. Taylor, see if it's true. Taylor walked over and put her hands on the girl's temples. Then she turned back to us. It's true. She hates Hatch.
I want to come with you, she said.
Come with me?
Where do you think I'm going?
To find your mother. I know where she is. I looked over at Zeus. What does she do?
No one was really sure, Zeus said. Something with computers.
I'm like a human flash drive, Grace said. I can download computers. I broke into the Academy's mainframe and downloaded all the information they had before they destroyed it all. You're going to need it to finish what you started.
I looked at her.
What do you mean, what I've started?
Grace was still holding her arm as she stood. This is just the beginning. The Elgen have built compounds all around the world. They're already trying to create new electric children. If we don't work together and stop them, they'll hunt us all down individually and then they'll take over.
It's true, Ian said. None of us will be safe alone. He turned to Abigail and frowned.
Even you, Abby.
Abigail looked down. McKenna rubbed her back.
Hatch never forgives and he never forgets, Zeus said. He's like an elephant with anger management issues.
In the center of the hallway, Nichelle groaned.
Whoa, that's Nichelle,
Grace said, her voice tinged with fear.
Sure is, I said.
Taylor walked over to Nichelle's side.
So, what do we do with Sunny Delight?
Nichelle's eyes opened. For a moment she looked around the room. Then the screeching and pain hit all of us. I immediately surged and Nichelle screamed out,
Okay, I'll stop!
Ah! Taylor groaned, rubbing her forehead.
Girl, you are one bad apple, rotten to the core.
I'd like to fry her like a corn dog, Zeus said, and be done with her.
Nichelle looked up at me fearfully as I walked over to her.
No. I have something more fitting in mind. Something much worse.
Worse than lightning? Taylor asked.
I nodded, looking in Nichelle's face.
Look at her.
She has nothing left. Her powers are now worthless. Her so-called friends have abandoned her. And we're not going to let her take a single thing from this place. I crouched down and took the diamond collar off her neck. We'll let her go back to the real world and live the rest of her life as a nobody.
As the reality of my words sunk in, her expression turned.
No, she said. Don't do this. Shock me, Vay.
I shook my head as I stood.
Nope. You're on your own.
Taylor walked over and took my hand.
Nichelle turned to Zeus.
Zeus, think of all the times I punished you. Finish me!
Zeus folded his arms. I'm done taking orders from you, Nichelle.
It's time for you to leave, Nichelle, I said. Jack, would you escort her out? Make sure she doesn't take anything with her.
Gladly.
He walked over and lifted Nichelle by her arm. She struggled futilely against his grasp.
Let go of me, you creep! I hate you! I hate you all!
Jack just grinned.
Come on, Wade. Let's show little Miss Sunshine the real world.
Hurry back, I said as they waited for the elevator.
We have plans to make.
Jack smiled, raising his fist in the air in a power salute.
Go, Electro Clan!
As the elevator door closed behind them,
A large grin blanketed Austin's face.
Wow!
What? I said.
We're buddies with Jack and Wade. We just freed an entire prison, and...
He glanced at Taylor.
Taylor Ridley's your girlfriend!
Taylor smiled.
We're definitely not in Idaho anymore!
That's for sure, I said. He held out his hand.
Bones, dude!
I held out my hand, and this time it was without hesitation. Bones. Taylor smiled, and for the first time, she held her hand out as well. Bones. Austin looked at Taylor and me, then around the room at each of our new friends. His smile grew wider.
You know what we have here, don't you?
What? I asked.
It's the rise of the Electro Clan.
Michael Vay, the prisoner of Cell 25, was written by Richard Paul Evans and read by Fred Berman. Ethan Donaldson was the recording engineer. Editing and post-production by Danny Meltzer. The associate producer was Louisa Solomon. Michael Vay, the prisoner of Cell 25, was produced and directed by Scott Sherritt. This has been a presentation of Simon & Schuster Audio. Michael Vay is available in hardcover from Mercury, Inc.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.